Evening all. Welcome to the Oswa Street Open Prison Podcast. I'm Prison Officer Andy Clark, and this week I'm joined in the exercise yard by three old lags.
Lags.
John, the Hitman Hicks, multiple Marcus Lillington. Honestly, I'm surprised that Marcus can manage it once, let alone more than once. And
I
Paul,
don't know what that means.
The Bogeyman Boag.
Oh, that's original.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about how to smuggle in peanut butter, the best ways to avoid piling on the pounds while we're in prison, and how to make a little money on the side while we're inside. Evening, gents.
Evening.
Evening, Andy.
How come he sets himself up as the prison warden or the guard? Why are we the prisoner? Why is he not in prison with us? I don't like this whole analogy.
He's always wanted to be. He's a bit of a sadist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole kind of tasks per episode thing, that should surely give you a clue that he is the warden.
Yes,
you know.
It's my authoritarian streak.
Yeah.
I did binge watch every episode of Porridge, though, a couple of months ago. And
oh, yeah, wonderful.
It was hilarious.
How politically incorrect is it now?
There are obviously a few, you know, a few jokes aimed at the one and only Scouse blackfella and Christopher Biggins.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's fine. And even the gags that are kind of involving them are all done in actually quite a sweet way, if you can be a sweet racist. It is actually still incredibly funny and a fabulous piece of writing. And I'm always believe that you need to accept something of its time, and that was definitely of its time. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there are episodes of something that, you know, you really flinch at. And other times, you know, you just have to think, well, you know, that was then and this is now. But overall, it was an absolute joy. I wouldn't recommend watching the Going Straight sequel, which was the series that they did after they got released. That was a bit poor. But Porridge itself, brilliant. Watch Porridge.
Mm. Yeah, good writing.
I love most of Ronnie Barker's work. Apart from the two Ronnies, that is painful if you go back and watch that.
Oh, really?
Dressed up as women singing songs about, you know, all it's... What, I think Not the 9 o'clock News did a send-up, something like Tits, Bums and Laughs or something like that, a song. And it, basically, that's what it is. Go back and watch that again. I had wonderful memories of it as a kid, of watching it, thinking it was the best thing ever, you know, Christmas Day... But then it was, yeah, if you go back, that has aged a lot. But Porridge, Open All Hours, other things he was in are still brilliant.
Yeah.
I am currently watching, let's see who's old enough to remember this, Land of the Giants.
Ooh. Yeah.
It rings a bell.
Yeah.
No idea what you're talking about.
It was an American series from about 1966, 68 or something like that, where... Some wonderful person has uploaded every episode of Land of the Giants up onto YouTube, and I've just got it on kind of, you know, follow on play. The quality is terrible. I mean, literally, it's like
it was terrible
blowing
at the time.
Up a postage stamp to 27 inches on my, you know, on my iMac. So as long as you watch it from across the room, it's actually okay.
Slightly like that. Classic. Or with Paul Boag's eyes.
Oh, leave me alone.
They've gone.
Yeah, they have. All of a sudden, it's since going to Wales, something happened to me when I went to visit Andy, and I've come back blind.
You went to the countryside.
I think it was all the sun. Then I was expecting to go to Wales and get, you know, grey and miserable, which is my natural environment. And it was a heat wave the entire time, and it has blinded me. I can no longer see my monitor, and it's causing me real problems. I've got to go to the opticians on Monday.
Well, let's park that for a couple of minutes, because I believe that John has a quick housekeeping announcement. Is it about the fact that, like Sue, you are on ironing strike, and I have a massive pile of T-shirts that he's now currently building in the kitchen.
Hang on.
And I did say,
Hang on.
I made this mistake. She was standing in the heat wave ironing, and she was ironing my T-shirt. And I said, oh, thank you for doing the T-shirts. You don't have to do that. She went, okay, I won't. And she hasn't done since. So now there is a massive pile of my ironing, and I walk past it every day thinking, I must do that bleeding ironing.
Who irons T-shirts? I just hang them. Everybody does except me. Am I the only one that doesn't?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
I vary.
I don't iron anything, to be honest.
No. It's overrated ironing.
Waste of time. But Andy, what a nearly amusing misunderstanding. That's not the kind of housekeeping I meant.
Oh!
It was something else.
Ooh!
It was just a quick thing, because I made the mistake of listening back to the last episode, and I listened to myself talking about... We just had the question about, you know, what would you, if you had plastic surgery, what would you have done? And I launched into this, oh, but of course, we're all white men, you know, we're privileged. We don't need to have work done. And it's like, we're putting ourselves in a position, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I hated myself. So it's just to say, apologize for that. You know, let's take it as obvious that we're all for, you know, middle-aged white men. And we don't need to mention that again, or I don't need
well,
to
mention
that again.
Well, you've just mentioned it again now.
I know, middle-aged white men. There you go. That's another one. But it's, but I don't need to apologise for it, or you know, keep on mentioning it because it just sounded tedious. And that's it. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
And we can now move on.
All right.
That's good. Think that's a very privileged position that you're speaking from. Apologies, Paul. I interrupted you. You were talking about your holiday and your bad eyesight, and. As you alluded to, I welcomed you and John and families up to North Wales week before last. Marcus obviously had something better to do. I don't know what he was doing, washing his car or something. I don't know what. Didn't
I do that about once
wanna,
a year?
Didn't
yeah,
want to
okay.
come. So it was lovely to have you. I really did enjoy it. Did you learn anything about North Wales?
No.
In fact, it was reverse. Actually, you got. A negative effect, didn't you? Of things taken away from you from going to Wales.
I went to Wales, came back with no sight. I don't understand. It was a dreadful time, to be quite honest. It was tedious.
Is there a sin that's weighing heavy on you, Paul?
What? I've gone blind because I stole all of Andy's Godzillas when he wasn't looking.
That could be the reason.
Replaced them with nasty old tat.
Yeah.
With My Little Ponies.
My Little Ponies. Brilliant.
I wonder how long it would take you to notice.
My first job was in a plastics factory when I was like 16, 17, whatever. And one of the machines that we had to use made My Little Ponies. This was before, obviously, everything went over to China. And these machines were computer monitored. So you had to make a certain amount of My Little Ponies an hour. Otherwise, the supervisor in the white coat and the clipboard would come and tell you off. Right. So we developed elaborate ways of being able to skive. And one of the ways that we did it was to forget to put the core, the inside of the pony, in the mold, which would completely bugger up the machine, and you would get My Little Mutants for about half an hour. Or the operators were responsible for putting the mix of the clear plastic and the colour into the hoppers at the top. And if you forgot or you left it a bit late, you'd end up with My Translucent Ponies. And then you'd have to stand by and wait for half an hour until they got to the right opacity of pony again. My Little Ponies, I could do those.
Personally, I think you've hit on an excellent business idea. My Little Mutant sounds like like the kind of thing that would really appeal to kids these days.
We used to work for a company, Paul, I can't for the life remember what they were called, but they extruded rubber products.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yes, you can guess where that went.
My Little Mutants or My Big Mutants for the more adult market.
So you didn't steal my Godzillas.
No.
But did you learn anything else? Was it worth it? Was it worth driving up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. Do you want me to say how much I enjoyed spending time with Sue? Because I really did enjoy spending time with Sue and Alex. It was lovely to see them both and spend time with them. Oh, and sorry, and John and Lee as well. It was, you know, to see all of you was a special, really great experience, and I'm glad I got to do it.
Well, the feeling is very mutual, and we very much enjoyed the thought of you standing twiddling your thumbs while you charged up your silly electric car 14 times on the way up here and on the way back.
I don't think Andy noticed the fact that I completely left him out of that list of people, did he?
No, I don't think he did.
No.
I listed. I think he's just not pandering to you.
Is he not?
Take the bait.
So
did anybody misbehave? I hope they did.
Ooh, I say. Ooh. With my reputation.
Yes, Paul misbehaved. Whoa. Paul misbehaved in the worst possible way a friend can. In that we went out for a walk one evening, and it was a very nice walk around Clean Idwell, and it was a very nice thing. And by the end of it, you know, everybody was a little peckish, and what did I want to eat? I wanted fish and chips, and I kept asking, oh, please let's go get fish and chips. We can go and get fish and chips. How about fish and chips? No, everybody else was going, it's too hot for fish and chips.
So why is this my fault?
Have fish and chips. So we didn't get fish and chips. There, the following day, I see Paul put up on his Instagram, just had some lovely fish and chips. It wasn't any cooler.
I still
haven't had my fish and chips.
I am beholden unto my wife. She didn't want fish and chips the first day.
You selfish man.
No, it's my wife that is. I'm putting her squarely in the crosshairs here. That she decides when we have fish and chips and when we don't. I'm merely the consumer of those at the appropriate time.
Did you fancy fish and chips at that moment?
No. No.
Were you bursting going, but I want them?
No.
And Kath was saying, no, Paul.
it's too hot.
Well, to be frank, we had just walked around a big lake and you got quite hot doing that. You didn't want to then eat fish and chips. It was quite obvious. The only reason Andy wanted fish and chips is because he dragged his ass around that lake like an asthmatic, I don't know, sloth. And so wanted some kind of reward at the end of it. Because
very true.
He don't did nothing all? But moan the whole way round about how hard
this is sounding like such a great trip.
It was great. Oh, and my wife...
I missed this bit, fortunately.
Yeah, so. And my wife lost her purse when she was there as well and had to drive back an hour to go and get it the next day.
The advantages of an electric carpool, you'd only manage to get an hour away. You would have been all the way home if it had been a proper car.
Do you carry like a little packet of AA batteries, Paul, that you could just pop in the back of it?
Yeah,
when you need to.
That's exactly how it works. You keep a power bank, and you can just get the power bank out of your laptop bag and plug it in, and off you go again. It's fine.
Get one of those MagSafe ones, those new Apple ones, and put it on the roof.
That's, you know, what they ought to do. Is they ought to have some kind of connection that runs above all the roads, right? Basically, they need to turn electric cars into trams. You remember the trams which had the thing that would connect
some
to the
wire?
Some
trains still have, don't they? Especially abroad, you go to France, they're all over your head.
That's how it should work. It's obvious. I don't know why.
Well, just get the train.
That might cost a few bob.
Because they're going to stop selling petrol and diesel cars, aren't they? 2030, you can't buy a new petrol and diesel car?
Yeah,
which is kind of
so we've got a bit of time yet. Don't worry.
I'm going to get one day, but I mean, it will be. I think it'll be useful for local trips. But
that's the key, Marcus. It's the best thing ever if you stay local, because you have no petrol bills, and you know, and the driving experience is great, and the acceleration is amazing, and there's less to go wrong with it, and all of these great things about it, until you want to go any distance, and then it sucks balls.
Well. You know. In that case, Paul, I suggest you stay local next time.
Yeah. You've got to come down to me.
And we'll all come to you.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So, shall we do a podcast? So let's talk about something important. Let's talk about nuts.
Nice. Right?
I've been tweeting about this because it's I don't know, I'm just bored. I don't get out anymore. But I've become kind of... interested in snack food again. It's so bad.
It's every weekend, Andy.
This is all we talk about.
I know. Really like peanuts at the moment. And I like peanuts in, if you've ever been to America, you've had a payday bar. Half a payday bar is your, I don't know, half, well, all of your kind of calories
saturated
that you
fats for a month
in a day. It's crazy. I like peanuts in peanut brittle. Remember that? That stuff.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. You know, love it.
Mm-hmm. Comes with a free trip to the dentist afterwards. Really nice. I've actually had root canal treatment this week, but not because of the peanut brittle. Do you remember sweet peanuts? The sweets that were shaped like a peanut.
Yes.
And they were kind of... No. Peanutty, yes. Sugary stuff
and
on the outside.
You can still get them, Andy.
No, you can't. Because yes, on the inside of the old-fashioned stuff is...
Heroin.
No, it used to be peanut butter, like a ground-up peanut paste. Whereas now, they don't have that on the inside. You can buy them, they look the same, but they have this kind of, I don't know, disappointment. They're wrapped in. It's not great.
They're wrapped in disappointment.
A layer of disappointment, yeah.
That's very British.
I know that they don't make these because I've been on to several sweet manufacturers and said,
of course you have.
I didn't realise quite to the level we were going here. You can still buy in jars in a proper sweet shop something called sweet peanuts, but
They're not the same. Well, trust me, I've been in every sweet shop in the land and they're not the same.
You haven't.
Anyway,
I tell you what I did, Andy, I tell you what I did learn coming up to Wales, and that's how deeply sorry I feel for Sue. And I think really that has just been driven home. The fact that every time you go anywhere, you go, oh, I'll just have to pop into this sweet shop to find out whether they have. I mean, it must be like pulling teeth, mustn't it?
The other thing I like, of course, is I like peanut butter on a bagel or in a sandwich or whatever. And it's, you know, it came to my attention that people mix stuff with peanut butter. They will layer different things in a bagel or in a sandwich or whatever with peanut butter. So my question is, I've never done this. I mean, well, certainly I have. I do peanut butter and banana. That I can do. Peanut butter and banana is great in a sandwich. But do you add anything to your peanut butter? What nutty combinations do you make? Marcus, you're nodding. You obviously do this a lot.
Well, even though I've been mocking you here, Andy, which I know is hard to believe, I am probably addicted to peanut butter, and I have been since I was a small boy.
Really?
But both of my children are, and their children are as well. Or I've only got grandchildren on one side. It's a family thing, and my answer to your question is it goes with anything, literally anything.
Marshmallow and peanut butter.
Fantastic.
No, yeah. Actually, sounds quite nice, doesn't it?
Swipe. You can spread it across a steak.
Okay.
Put it in a burger.
No, you cannot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Stir it into ice cream. It's
on top of a
goes
burger.
Goes with anything.
Yep. Bit of red onion marmalade, peanut butter, and a burger.
John's with me. He understands.
Who was it who talked about peanut butter and Marmite?
Yes, that's the classic.
See, now
you can actually buy it as well.
That was it. It was you, John. I've got problems with you, right? Because
oh, I bet you have.
Because I saw you tweet this and I thought, you know, I poo-hooed maple syrup and bacon. I poo-hooed jam and peanut butter. I will try this. So I mixed together Marmite and peanut butter, and all I can conclude is it was an elaborate practical joke on your part. It was the most...
How much Marmite did you put in?
Not too much.
What do you mean too much? Describe, like, are we talking tablespoons, or are we talking, like, ratio? Yeah. What kind of ratio?
I would say probably 1/10 Marmite to peanut butter.
Yeah, that's pretty good, but you shouldn't have mixed it together into one thing. It's more of a layer thing.
Okay. So you would
do you like Marmite?
Yeah, with it. Yeah, I mean, not particularly strong, which is why I was careful not to put too much.
Okay. But
also, this is a very important This is how nerdy I am about this. Very, very important. Okay. If you're talking toast here.
Yes.
Okay, so it's the best medium.
Yeah.
This,
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously.
Particular mixture that we're talking about is... Some people disagree, but I think that to do it properly, you must have real butter on the toast first, then peanut butter, and then a little bit of Marmite, more in a sort of streak type effect.
Because I did butter, then Marmite, and then peanut butter on top of it. I reckon I put too much Marmite on. I think that
could be too much. Mm. Also, crumpets. When you get a crumpet, you've got all the butter and the peanut butter
moves into
the little holes.
Yeah.
And then when you bite into it, it just goes... And you just get this lovely ooze coming out.
Yes.
I want some now.
Yeah.
Crumpets exist just as being butter sponges. We should just call them butter sponges. Mm.
That's exactly what they are. Yeah. Yes. I bought them today. I've got talking of grandchildren, two of them coming to stay on the weekend. So I've got a cupboard full of biscuits... Sweets, crisps, and yummy things like crumpets. So, yum, yum, yum. And I've been eating them a lot today.
Shouldn't you actually wait for your grandchildren to come before eating the food to have with your grandchildren, rather than just eating it all now so there's nothing when they come?
Yeah, maybe.
You haven't thought it through, have you?
I feel basically you've bought a load of food for yourself and will now be going back out to buy more food for the weekend when your grandchildren come.
But the little bit of that, maybe. But, you have to try these things out, Paul. Make sure they're all right.
So I presume you offset all of this, this calorific content with lots of exercise, Marcus.
Well, funny you should say that. I have actually started playing badminton.
Oh, have you?
Oh. Oh, how simply spiffing.
Yes, I know.
Bit of badders.
Badders, yes. Exactly. So that makes me puff a bit. I go out walking and things. But yeah, I probably should do a little bit more exercise than I do.
But
I'm still getting... I am expanding. And I know, yes, all right, I try not to eat biscuits, although I have done today. But it's becoming much more of a fight than it used to be. I used to be able to go... Oh, well, I won't go to the pub on a Tuesday night and I'd lose half a stone.
Yeah.
Back when I used to have sugar in tea and coffee, I'll stop that for 2 weeks and I've lost half a stone. It doesn't work like that anymore.
No.
Mm. Peanut butter is actually one of my big downfalls because it's my go-to snack food.
Yes.
If I need
pat of butter straight into the mouth.
If I haven't got anything spread on, I'll just eat it with a spoon. But
same.
Normally in bread or toast, but... One of my favourites, right? So bread, mayonnaise, peanut butter, slaw, as in like not coleslaw, but the actual like cabbage and that kind of thing. Mm. And maybe a little bit of something like a little bit of curry paste or something, like a red Thai curry paste on top. Just a little sliver just to give it a bit of heat or a bit of sriracha or something like that. Nice.
We should do a book.
But the problem is we've got the mayo, obviously. The peanut butter. Mayo and peanut butter, by the way, I don't know if you know about this, it's a Deep South sandwich. It was quite a good sort of cheap energy food. Mm. But it's a really nice combination. You get a little bit of creaminess. And it used to be that peanut butter was quite dry and claggy. And mayo would just give it that little bit of moistness and a bit of life. But yeah, that's my stack. And that's why I'm fat.
We should do a cooking show. Except that I can't cook.
No, neither can I. No.
What?
Okay, so.
I can. It's probably my number one hobby after playing the guitar. I love cooking.
Right.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually. I thought you'd both be kind of dabblers, at least.
I used to. I used to when I was, when I was a student. But
recipes involving baked beans.
Yes, but I haven't done this for a while. When I was on my own in Australia, I thought, right, I'm going to cook. And then about, two or three days later, I was back to the ice lolly and tinned soup diet, which was I lost about half a stone just eating ice lollies. And I used to buy online and the supermarket in Australia is Woolworths, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
They do Woolworths, and it's not the Woolworths that we, yeah, you know, we know with the pick and mix where you used to be able to buy your little sweet peanuts, which you can't anymore because they've changed the recipe and it's the world's
move on,
shit.
Man.
I can't.
I had every type of Campbell's tin soup. I used to open the cupboard. It was like being, you know, in a room with Andy Warhol. It was
Andy. So is it that you just don't like food that much?
No, I love food, and this right. obviously brings us on to our kind of next topic. But yes, no, I love food, and I think I love it a little too much.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy it, but I don't really get hungry. So I will have to remember to eat, which is...
God, I wish I was you.
Yeah. No. But then I eat when I get bored. So that is the flip side of it. You know, if I'm sitting around bored, I'll just put something in my mouth. normally food. You know, so...
Someone's
that's
finger.
What fags are brilliant for.
Yeah, that's what I need to start smoking. That's the answer.
It is. Smoking's fantastic. Keeps you... I was a stone lighter when
well,
I used to smoke.
You say that, Marcus, but I watched Andy puff around a lake, so I know that that's not true.
I wouldn't have puffed around the lake, mate. yeah, your problem is, Paul, because you never do any exercise. You never go out.
Actually, so that's changing in a shocking turn of events. And I'm almost embarrassed that I've discovered that I quite like cycling. Which is really quite shocking.
What,
to
proper lycra and no. Silly hat and everything?
No, not Chris
hat.
Scott. Not,
you know,
Chris Scott.
Like one of those ones with two cans of lager on the side.
No, I'm talking very kind of Sunday afternoon driver type of cycling.
To the pub, yes. Yeah. I like that kind of cycling.
Yeah.
Yes,
and it just, I turned into a little kid because I used to cycle a lot when I was a kid. I loved it. I was always out on my bike. But somewhere along the line, you know, well, I got a car and cars went further and involved less effort. But I've rediscovered it, you know, and it's, I'm absolutely loving it. We even took the bikes up to Wales, which it was very shocking.
Ah, now. This isn't the bike of your youth now, is it?
No.
This isn't the type that is completely powered by pedals and human.
Well, no. This is very interesting. Yeah, alluding to is that it's an electric bike. It's got a battery associated with it. And yes,
it's
absolutely. You know, I did, in all honesty, I bought it because it had an electric battery. But because I was... If I'm being really honest with you, because I knew I was so incredibly unfit and I didn't know how to start. Do you know what I mean? It felt like just buying a bike and going out cycling, I was going to be doing the walk of shame every time I came to a hill and that kind of thing. And so I was quite embarrassed by my level of fitness. So I bought this bike because it had a battery, but I very rarely use it now. I use it when I'm kind of coming back from somewhere and I've had enough and I just want a bit of help. But
you know what? No judgment from me. I'm totally with the idea of electric bikes. Yeah. I think they make total sense.
You know, it's great for... It's like an insurance policy for me. It lets me go a little bit further than I would do because I know, well, I can get back if I need to. I could just put the electric... You know, the battery on and it's easy. So, yeah, it's been brilliant, actually. I've really, really enjoyed it. And it's given me the confidence.
Because locally, there's a hill in Bourton-on-the-Water. So when you come out of it, it's not necessarily the steepest, but it's quite long. Mm. So you start off and you think, okay, I'm at a good pace in the cycling world. And it just keeps on going. And you think, right, this is getting quite hard now and I'm really going to have to stop. And you're about halfway at that point. This old guy just passes me and just goes, morning. and I just thought, God, am I that unfit?
And then you were sick.
That I could get past so easily. And then I noticed he wasn't pedaling. And the fact that he had his little electric bike. So when he came to the hill... Just switched it on, up you go.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I was jealous, really. Yeah. I'm totally for that idea.
When you were a kid, what kind of bike did you have?
Ooh.
I had a chopper. Was my Me first too. Bike.
Yeah, I bet you did. I couldn't help myself.
What colour was your chopper, Paul?
It was a rosy pink. No, it was... I don't know. I can't remember. Blue? I think it was blue.
Mine was purple. I had a purple chopper.
I had a silver chopper. And it had 5 gears. It had the split. So your ones would have just been 1, 2, 3 like that. Mine split, and it hit 4 and 5 in the second. So then
I wanted a chopper.
Oh, what did you have? Did you have a racing bike?
I just
bike?
Had like a rally, 8-speed rally, yeah. You know, racing bike. But the chopper was the cool, or grifter, wasn't it?
Yeah. Grifter was just, cool ones, and grifter was a slightly later. So I moved to a grifter when I got my second bike.
Yeah.
But they changed the design of the chopper because it did have this unfortunate design trait where if you kind of came off it, the gear thing in the middle of the frame would remove your testicles.
Castrated you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot that.
But would you... I mean, think about the chopper... Wouldn't that make the perfect electric bike now?
Yeah. I'd feel a bit embarrassed riding a chopper at the age of 49, mine. It feels like a, you know, not entirely appropriate, but there you go.
They go for big money now, though. There's a whole scene, like, if you go to, like, VW shows with Beatles and campers, right. That people, you know, they take the camper, but they also take their chopper to, like, just get around the festival or campsite and things. You get some lovely, like, fully chromed ones and really, really nicely restored, but they'd go for silly money.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much of it for such a trophy bike.
Yeah. I snapped the frame on mine riding around in the woods. But what we used to do is you'd get an old racer and keep the front wheel of the racer and then take your chopper wheel and put that on the back of the racer to kind of make a kind of like a grifter before a grifter.
It sounds like a monstrosity. Frankenstein bike.
Well, yeah, no, but it was like, you know, you did it in the garage and got all greasy and it was great. You know, played with your chopper in the garage.
Got all greasy, yeah. Oh, that's good, though. I think cycling's a great... It's a great low-impact way of getting exercise.
Yeah.
But I've got the problem at the moment that I can't... my bike is being fixed. My wheels need rebuilt. But because you can't get bike parts because of Brexit, I've been 5 weeks without a bike.
Oh, no.
I might have to just buy another bike.
Yeah, buy an electric one.
Simple.
Yeah.
You can convert existing bikes to electric bikes, can't you? You can buy like a unit that will go on any bike, but I don't.
That's why on all the like big bike races like Tour de France, they have to actually like X-ray the bikes just to see if anyone's cheated. Because someone did get caught out. Yeah, there was someone a few years ago now. I think you have to be pretty stupid to try it. But I think it wasn't Tour de France. I think it was one of the classic races in Holland. But yeah, someone was found to have all the machinery inside their bike.
Wow.
And, sneaky. Instant disqualification, obviously. So.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I don't think I'll be entering the Tour de France anytime soon. So I'll stick with
that. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. It's just a case of, you know, is it a nice way to pootle around? Yeah. Mm.
Anybody else doing anything to try and reduce their expanding waistline?
No. Trying to diet a little bit, or try and be mindful of what I'm eating, but I like food too much, and it gives me comfort. You know, that's a real thing, the hump to get over, I think.
Sue and Alex have been getting into their fitness a lot, and every day they get up and they walk about 5 miles or so, literally every day, rain or shine. And they do the whole MyFitnessPal thing, and they're, you know, scanning barcodes to find out how many calories they've got left. And they've done incredibly well. You know, they've got fit and they've lost weight and everything else. And on a Monday, they get up and they drive to the there's a converted chapel, which is a gym. down in Denby, where they've got a trainer and they spend an hour, you know, lifting things and doing all of that kind of stuff. And while they are, you know, pumping iron, I'm sneaking off to the cafe down in Prestatyn and eating a sausage sandwich.
Well, that's the thing. I've tried, and it is working. I've given up breakfast.
Yeah.
I might have a banana, but I used to love, you know, toast and marmalade or peanut butter or porridge. Or I just love it. And I'd wake up like, brilliant. But I realised that typing doesn't really need any... I don't need to fill myself up with many calories to be able to type through the morning. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, it's not working from a losing weight perspective yet. I've only been doing it for about a week, but it's all right. It's fine.
I've never eaten breakfast. The only times I eat breakfast is when I'm in a hotel and I feel like I have to get my money's worth, you know, because breakfast is included. And actually, yeah. Almost...
piles it on for a big plate.
Almost always, I end up making myself feel sick. I don't actually like breakfast. My body doesn't... is unable to process food until I've been up at least a couple of hours, I think.
God, I just like... That's so alien to me. Yeah. Because breakfast is the best meal of the day.
Yeah, no.
You know, breakfast food is the best food. And sometimes all I want for dinner is breakfast. You know, I find it quite hard to... I could... Like, often what I did in places, like we went to America... I would fill up on a big breakfast, but then not have lunch.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd rather skip lunch than breakfast in that sense.
But. Yeah.
I think the idea behind it of not eating breakfast is that it's apparently, and this could be complete bollocks, but apparently it's quite good for your body not to eat anything for, I don't know, 16 hours of the day. So if you only eat lunch and dinner or breakfast and lunch, then that's better for you than breakfast and dinner, and leaving a big
because I've heard that there's a phrase about breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, dinner like a pauper.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that breakfast is the biggest meal of the day, and then it goes down to like being really basic for dinner. And the idea being that, you know, you're not supposed to eat late, you know, because anything you eat in the evening just sort of sits and doesn't get kind of worked off throughout the day. Mm. So that's kind of the opposite.
I'll let you know how I get on.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know.
Breakfast is a weird thing, though. I mean, talking about America, have you been into an American supermarket and seen... They have an aisle of cereal with about 300 different varieties of breakfast cereal going down this aisle. I mean, honestly, it's about half a mile long. You know, it's just this enormous array of different breakfast cereals. And, you know, you can get... I don't know, just like any combination of things that you wouldn't expect in a breakfast cereal. And you come back over here and all we have is cornflakes. You know, there's only two ingredients in cornflakes. There's corn and sadness. And it's just...
cornflakes. I don't really do cereal.
It's like... Americans do breakfast well. That's one of the things that they have got right is breakfast.
But if you think about it, I know I'm going to upset people here, but the English breakfast is a little ridiculous, right?
It's fabulous.
Let's start the day with big chunks of meat, right? Sausages and bacon and grease. Yum. That's how we're going to begin our day, you know?
Protein.
Yes, good protein's good.
Protein to fill you up throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because
what you shouldn't be eating is massive bowls of wheat and loaves of bread. That's not great. But yeah,
I can't do cereal with sugary cereals.
Yeah,
so many cereals. I used to like cereals, but they just taste so sweet and sugary now.
Yeah,
I will often have porridge as if I need to break. If I think I've eaten eggs too many times in the week. Which is usually yes. I would have just a plain porridge just to try and have a bit of fibre and get away from kind of, you know, bread and eggs. But yeah, I couldn't do cereals. I could do pastries, like, you know, croissants, or I could do the cooked breakfast, but not the whole cereal, and certainly not the fruit salad. Fruit salad could do one.
I like a fruit salad.
You would be so appalled, John, at my general eating habits, because it's not unusual for me to also forget to eat lunch. So I don't eat breakfast, I forget lunch, and then just eat an evening meal. But then, and this is where my problem comes in, because I'm hungry, right? Because I haven't really eaten very much all day. And so I eat my evening meal and then I pick. And then I will eat, you know, sit in front of the TV and I'll eat crisps and I'll eat chocolate. And so that's why, you know, even though I eat very little in the day, I've still have got this beautiful little pot belly. It's just very beautifully shaped.
What you do is what's called the Butterfield diet.
Right.
So I'll send the link. But basically the idea is that like 6 days out of seven, you have things like, you know, breakfast is a single toasted cornflake spread with low-fat spread.
Yeah.
You know, pudding is ice cubes with artificial sweetener.
Yeah.
You know, this thing. And then you get to Saturday, and Saturday is treat day.
Right.
And you can have as much as you like. As you know, and the list is all stuff like pork cylinders, and fluffy ruffs, and you pick out. And then, so what you're doing is that sort of condensed into a day.
Yeah.
So you sort of do nothing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very healthy and rounded, and a good way of ensuring that you have zero energy all day long, and then are awake all night because you've been eating sugar in the evening. Yeah.
You have problems sleeping, don't you, Paul?
I do. It's funny
you
that,
know this
isn't
how.
I wonder why.
Andy's about to move on to the challenge that, once again, I have not done. So therefore, I don't want to talk about it. I have.
Yeah, we have to do the challenge.
And the sad thing is, I had every intention this time. Yeah, previously I'd gone, oh, screw it, I'm not doing that. But this one I thought was actually quite a good one. So I wrote a task down. I was intending to do it, and then I didn't. So I'm feeling bad. But and to make matters worse, Marcus and John, you've both done it, haven't you?
Kind of.
I have a response.
You piss off.
Can we just remind people what the task was?
Yes,
so it was to write off and get a signed photo of a celebrity. Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Summarisation of that. So... Go on, Marcus. I'm intrigued by you.
Oh, right. Well, as probably you entirely would expect, I haven't done what teacher asked me to do, or the prison warder asked me to do, as usual. But the nature of the task did remind me of a time, a very long time ago, when I was on the other end of this.
Right.
There are many signed copies of records, actual vinyl, with my moniker on them. A very, very large number, I realised when I thought about it, which is a bit weird and maybe a bit interesting and worth talking about for a minute. That said, I did look on eBay a week or so ago, and that I couldn't find any copies. But we did.
That's because everybody's got them framed on their wall and treasuring them.
That'll be it.
Yeah,
that'll be it. Definitely. I think I have actually got one somewhere, but it's in a box after the move. But anyway, so back in 1988. We'd been signed in 1985 and we'd released about 10 singles that did absolutely nothing. So therefore we felt that getting a hit was what happened to other people. And I was in a band called Breathe, for those people who don't know, had a hit record in the US. It was a number one selling single. Woo! And there's a story about how all that happened. It took ages and... that's not the story here. The story here is that when we released our second single, a song called How Can I Fall, it kind of raced up the charts. And we were the talk of the town. We had gold records. There's one behind me that you can see. And we toured the States. And when I say tour, it was more of a kind of radio and TV tour. But as part of that, we did many, many record signings, a bit like an author would go and do book signings.
Yeah.
We'd be set up in the local, usually Tower Records, and people would literally queue round the block for hours. At one place, I think it might have been Seattle, we signed records for 7 hours straight. Of course, we were moaning, like you know, you didn't realise at the time how wonderful this was, really. That people wanted your... Why do people want your name? Anyway, but they did. And it literally... I'm going to say hundreds. It was more than hundreds. It was thousands of people came.
This is a very long way of saying I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I did start by saying I haven't done it.
And actually worse than me, because I just said I haven't done it, while Marcus has made it about how amazing he used to be.
I'll finish by saying that by far the best signing we ever did was at a water park. Again, I think it was on the West Coast, probably California.
I can see where this is going.
Yes, where all of the young ladies wanted us to sign various parts of their anatomy. And obviously they were egging each other on. And it all was rather eye-opening, shall we say, as a young lad of only 18 or whatever I was back in those days. Anyway, so that's my little story.
So you didn't do the task then?
Of course I didn't do the task.
Which body part did you sign?
All the body parts.
All the body parts. The body parts. With a massive marker.
Or was it a chopper? So anyway, go on, John. So,
go on then, John.
John's the swat of the group. He'll have done it properly.
Always.
Well, mine's one of disappointment. So I quite fancy getting Bob Mortimer's autograph, so I wrote off and I've not heard back.
Aww.
So in the meantime, I thought, I wonder if I went onto eBay, what's the cheapest autograph I could buy that's from someone that I'd actually want an autograph from?
Right.
So have a quick guess what the cheapest autograph I could have bought was at that time on eBay.
The cost. Nigel Farage.
Oh, well, I don't know. I can't tell you who it was.
Oh, you mean the amount of money?
The actual cost.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. £2.50.
99p.
Lower.
A penny.
Oh, almost. 10p. So it was, I can't remember the guy's name. It was like a pirate radio or hospital radio kind of person and DJ. Anyway, so I saw for 49p the autograph for Roger Delgado, who was the first master in Doctor Who. And I thought, 49p, that's... And I think it was even like free postage or something. So I thought, I'm going to go for that. So here it is.
Hey.
I got my my signed photo of Roger Delgado. And you probably can't tell from this, but it's not real.
Oh.
So that's not a signed photo. It's a photo of a signed photo.
Right.
And also, what's worse, it's a pixelated... I don't know if I can put this a little bit closer.
Oh, dear.
It's very blurry.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, it says, with sincere wishes, Roger Delgado, July 1970. But that was 49p's worth. And I should have realised that 49p, you're not going to get a real thing. Anyway, that was it.
We'll hold this challenge over until next month because I didn't hear back from the people that I'd written to either.
I don't believe a word of it.
Charlton Heston didn't respond. Bob Hoskins didn't respond. Roger Moore hasn't responded yet. So I think I need a little more time to get a reply. So we'll
pick a different kind of celebrity, don't you, really?
We'll come back to this next month.
One with a pulse.
I think we should wrap up. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
God willing.